This season of the Creative Piano Teaching Podcast is proudly brought to you by Sheet Music Plus.
One really nice thing is that I actually get a lot more interaction from my students themselves on Instagram.
Right.
Rather than on Facebook. And so it's really nice because they can see like whatever picture of them and get really excited about it, or they get excited when a video gets posted in a way that they wouldn't if I was just using Facebook.
Welcome to the Creative Piano Teaching Podcast, the place where teachers from around the world meet to share innovative ideas about music education. Listen and learn as we help you motivate your students, grow your income, expand your studio, and become a more creative piano teacher.
Hi everyone, welcome back to Season 3 2018 of the Creative Piano Teaching Podcast. You're listening to episode number 135, and a special welcome to you if you're an Inner Circle Piano Teaching community member. My name is Tim Topham, your host for the show, and if this is your first time here, thank you so much for tuning in. The Creative Piano Teaching Podcast is your home for inspiration, ideas, business, and teaching strategies to help support your teaching and grow your studio. Today's episode is all about Instagram. Have you ever wondered whether it's worth spending time on Instagram? Is it a business proposition or is it just a bit of fun? How does it work? How do you streamline the process? Is it possible to schedule posts? What works? What doesn't? If you've ever wondered about using Instagram in your teaching business, then today is the episode for you. Today's show notes and full transcript are now available at timtopham.com/episode135. My guest today is a piano teacher who also loves books, science fiction, vintage apparel, tea, and cats. The last one's definitely close to my heart. She enjoys exploring new and creative ways to engage with her students and in turn help them invest more in their music and grow to become whole, well-rounded musicians. She's also a superstar on Instagram. Welcome to the show, Dawn Ivers.
Thanks for having me on the show, Tim. I'm super, super stoked to be on the show today.
Well, look, I've been following your progress for a little while online, secretly stalking you on Facebook and seeing all the great posts that you've been sharing with people and the help that you've been giving people, particularly when they've been asking about social media. And so I thought, oh, you'd be the perfect person to have on the show today. So tell us a little bit about your studio before we get into today's topic. What kind of teaching are you doing and how your days look?
Well, currently I have actually just moved from Southern California, where I was travel teaching for 12 years, and now I'm in Central Kansas, and I've been here about 2 months, so I'm in the process of rebuilding, while also teaching some of my students back online still in California. So I have a transitional stage where I'm doing students in studio and students online, sometimes in the same day, one right after the other, so there's that setup in between and everything. My day-to-day is basically that Monday is my administrative day, and so I will spend Monday just working on blogs or studio stuff or maybe some composing or arranging, whatever I feel like doing that day, and then Tuesday through Friday are the days that I focus on teaching.
Right. And look, the move from California to Kansas, now that's pretty different parts of the United States, right? I haven't been to Canvas, but I've spent time in California. So is that due to partner's work or family? Because obviously upping and leaving is a big move.
Yeah, definitely. My husband is from the town that we moved back to. So he moved out to LA a long time ago, met me there. And then when we were looking to buy a house and trying to think about the next life step, we ended up feeling pulled to come back here.
Right. And a little bit less expensive than LA to buy a house, I'm sure.
Oh, for sure. Yes.
I can't believe the rental and property market over there. I mean, Melbourne and Sydney over here are pretty bad, but I was talking to some friends in LA and my goodness, it's another whole world. So, well, that's fantastic. Real challenging though, as anyone who's moved studio would know, to rebuild from scratch is a huge challenge. So well done on doing a bit of both. I think it's really sensible to continue teaching some students online while you build your new local studio. And then I assume that will probably flip around and you'll have more local students. Would that be your goal? And then the online will die down, or would you see yourself continuing both?
For now, I definitely see myself continuing both. I think ultimately it probably would be really nice to have enough students here, but this town is pretty small. So we'll see what happens. And I'm also open to teaching students online, you know, anywhere. They don't have to be in California. That just happens to be where I have some already. But so I'm going to kind of see where the demand's coming from and try to meet it that way.
Yeah. We might have to have a follow-up conversation at some stage about your experience with online teaching, because I know a lot of teachers find it challenging, have lots of questions. I've interviewed people about it before, but there's always more we can learn. But let's focus today on particularly on Instagram. And I guess my first question is, as someone who has been using it in their studio, do you feel that it works for piano teachers trying to find students, or is it more for kind of just brand building and internal marketing, or, you know, promotion inside your studio? Can you find new students with it?
My experience has mostly been that the internal marketing is definitely stronger, but having just moved and rebuilt, having the curated content that people can just go look at has been really, really helpful in rebuilding. So It kind of depends on how you use it, but it's I think it's much more effective to create studio community and to create a following and interaction within your studio.
Right, and that's what we meant by internal marketing. So brand building and community building within your studio rather than necessarily finding new people. You mentioned curated content. What did you mean by that?
So it's kind of like branding. When you're talking about branding, the content that you put up or the photos that you put up, you sort of create a brand through them. And so depending on what you're sharing, that's what people see, and that's what goes into creating your brand. And so you've curated all this content that establishes who you are and what you offer. It's similar to what we do on our websites. It's similar to what we do on Facebook. It's just all of that stuff that you put out there so that people can have an at a glance. This is who you are as a piano teacher or as a business.
Right. And in case someone listening hasn't experienced Instagram before, can you give us a quick overview of what it is and how it's different to Facebook?
Yeah, definitely. So Facebook and Instagram, I think, fact check me on this, but I'm pretty sure that Facebook actually owns Instagram.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah. So, you know, way up, they're the same thing. But the way that we interact with them is different in that Instagram is an app and it's best absorbed through a mobile device. Whereas Facebook, you can use on mobile, you can use on a website or browser, on your laptop, on your computer. You know, Facebook's kind of everywhere, but Instagram is best digested through your mobile device. As far as signing up, it's actually a little bit easier than Facebook. You just download the app and the profile building is very brief. It's not like you have to answer a ton of questions and a whole about me section. It's like four little pieces of information, a quick sentence about who you are and you're in, and then you're posting pictures. And that's the other way that Instagram is mostly different, is that it focuses on images rather than text. And links don't work in Instagram. So links that you put in your comments, they don't necessarily hyperlink to whatever you are thinking about. So you have to use, the only link that actually works is the one in your bio or in your profile. And so you have to use that to your advantage when you're posting into Instagram.
Unless you get 10,000 followers, and then you can put links in your stories, right? And things.
Once we all get 10,000.
Yeah, I'd love to hit that day, because I follow sort of Business Insider and Entrepreneur and stuff, and so they just cycle through all their blog articles, and you can just swipe up and you're into their website. It's so good. But I've got a long way to go yet.
me too.
So if teachers only have limited time, and look, let's face it, we all do, and we know what a time suck a Facebook can be, what's better, Facebook or Instagram? If you've got to choose one or the other.
If you have to choose one or the other, I think you have to look at where the students and the clientele that you want are, and that's where you want to be. For example, in California, most of my studio parents were more active on Instagram. Right. Now that I'm here in central Kansas, a lot more of my studio parents are active on Facebook. So you want to advertise where the people who you want to see you are.
Yes.
As far as time commitment, I think it's possible to do both, because you can send a post from Instagram to Facebook. You create one post, tell it to post to your Facebook page, and you're done. So it's possible to do both, but it is two things to manage. So if you have to pick one, look at where your demographic is, and that's where you want to go.
Yeah, and that goes the same goes for all marketing that you spend money on, right? Or spend time on. Make sure that you're getting in front of the people where they actually are spending time. That's a great bit of advice. I'd forgotten about that linking between Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, in fact. Not that people were worrying about Twitter too much, but yes, you can flick a little checkbox so that anything you put on Instagram will automatically go through to Facebook and Twitter if you choose. So that is a good shortcut too. Thanks, Dawn. Can you schedule Instagram posts like you can on Facebook pages?
Not within the app, but there are a lot of third-party apps that will let you schedule Instagram out. The one that I use is Planoly, and it is really nice because it'll auto-post. So you can schedule out the things, and then it will auto-post them at whatever time you have said.
So that's the kind of thing you would do on a Monday in your admin day, and then you don't have to worry about it for the rest of the week.
Exactly, yeah.
That's great. And do you know of any other bits of software? We'll put links to them in the show notes. Is there any other ones that you've tried or that you could recommend? So you said Planoly.
I haven't tried Planoly. Yeah, I can send you how it's spelled after. I haven't tried any other ones. I started using Planoly because a friend of mine who's a photographer uses it, and she really loved it. So I started trying it out. And it's nice because you don't have to dump all your photos. Even if I only want to think about posting Instagram on Monday, I don't have to post them all on Monday. I can schedule them out throughout the week and it's done.
Yeah, that's great. We've been testing one called Grum, G-R-U-M. I'm not sure if you've heard of that one. Grum.io, I think it is. We're literally just kind of testing it out to see how it goes. And some of these bits of software too can provide more analytics and data for you about what's being engaging and things like that too. So yeah, definitely explore some third party if you're interested in it. Most of them start with a free tier that you can explore with, and then you might have to go onto a paid program, but you know, try them out and see how you go.
Yeah, definitely.
Do you know what the biggest age or demographic is for Instagram, or is it really dependent on your location?
I think a lot of it is dependent on location. Age-wise, I'd say it's probably most of your under 50s, roughly. Right.
All the over 50s listening who are getting upset by that can make sure you post a comment saying, why use it?
Yeah. I mean, that's just kind of a shot in the dark, but it's definitely I know some of my studio moms use it, but I don't know of too many of the studio grandmas who use it.
Right.
So that's kind of my limit there. Yeah, the cutoff.
Yep. I think just judging by my friends and people I see and my parents, for example, I think you're probably about right there. It's definitely a generational thing and very, very, very popular with young people, even teenagers, early 20s, 30s, very, very popular.
Yeah. One really nice thing is that I actually get a lot more interaction from my students themselves on Instagram.
Right.
Rather than on Facebook. And so it's really nice because they can see whatever picture of them and get really excited about it, or they get excited when a video gets posted in a way that they wouldn't if I was just using Facebook.
That's true. And I don't think there's so much of an issue of being linked to your students on Instagram like it is being a friend with them on Facebook. Would you agree?
Yeah, I would totally agree with that, because they just follow your public business page or your business profile on Instagram. So it's not like they're seeing any content that's wouldn't be on your studio website as well.
Right. And that's a big one, because I'm often asked about friending students and their parents and things like that on Facebook, because we know that if you are friends with your children's parents and you tag them and their children into pictures, you can get more exposure through Facebook. But we've got to be careful about being friends with students. But as you say, on Instagram, it's different. It's just really that they're just looking at what you post publicly. So that's another great little tip. You can tag your students, if you know their usernames, into all your uploads. Brilliant. And they'll share it with their friends and their parents will see it and things.
Yeah, definitely. And it gets them really excited about it. So it's a big plus. It's a really good motivator, social media, for kids. Yeah.
So you've mentioned videos before, but what kind of things do you personally post? And what would you recommend teachers post if they start using Instagram?
I post a lot of brag photos, which are just photos of my students holding up little signs that say, like, I played a game and beat my teacher, or I memorized my piece, or I was a sight reading superstar. And the brag photos that I use, I got from Teach Piano Today. And she just had them up there for free as a free download in one of their newsletters. And I grabbed it and started using them. So it's mostly that. But I also do videos, like quick videos of duets on Instagram. Videos are a minute or less. So if you got a nice long piece, you don't want to share it on Instagram, share it on a YouTube video or something. But if you have a quick little snippet or a quick little duet where you just want to share something that happened real quick in the studio, Instagram's a good place to do that. And then I also share blog promotions or graphics so that parents can engage with my piano blog, which tends to have a lot of practice tips and different things. And again, those link back. I just will say, like, go to this blog post at the link in bio. They go to the bio and it loads it for them. So it's very easy for them to access it.
Right. So do you update the link in your bio each week or each new blog post that comes out? Or is it just take people to your homepage?
It takes people to my blog page, which has little, it's a scrollable page through the most recent blog posts.
Of all the posts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With the most recent posts. So they can see, and depending on which graphic they clicked on to get there, they'll see that matching graphic and then just click on that to read the article. The most recent is usually at the top and then it goes from there.
Great. And so I just want to reiterate, because it took me a while to realize this when I first started posting, if you post a URL, a hyperlink into a post that you're making on Instagram, it won't be clickable in any way, unfortunately. So you do have to send people to what's called your bio page. It'd be like your profile page in Facebook. That's where the only clickable link you can have in your profile is. So you have to you either have to update it regularly or... as Dawn is doing, just send them to a page where they can see all the recent things and be able to click from there. So, yeah, that's a good tip, but it's quite different to Facebook in that regard.
Yeah, and you can't even copy and paste from comments. I know at first I was like, oh, people can just copy the link. You can't really copy and paste either. No. It's very difficult. Yeah. So you just have to use the system they have in place.
Right, unless they change it.
Yeah.
Now, we probably better talk just quickly about permission for student photos. How do you manage that?
I've got a checkbox in my studio policy when students sign up that just says photos can be used on the studio website, Instagram, Facebook, and they can check it or not. And if they check it, I will use their photos. If they don't, I won't use them.
Right.
So that's how I deal with it.
And what kind of percentage ticket? I imagine most probably are happy to.
Most do because they can see how excited their kids are about getting those posts, and it's a good incentive, and they know that. So, and they also know that I don't share like last names. I don't share any like personal information. I'll share a first name and a quick description of what's in the photo, but it's nothing real personal. So you're not going to be traced back at all.
I think it's good. Just first names and smiling kids' faces with these brag signs. I think that's great. So we'll pop links to the brag signs. Also, I've interviewed people and I've shared my policies and other teachers' policies before. So if you're interested in how to word that and you've not done that before, then check out our show notes for this episode.
Now, a quick word from our sponsor, Sheet Music Plus. Many teachers end up developing their own compositions, plans, and arrangements for their students. Why not share these with other teachers and maybe make some extra income to supplement your teaching? SMP Press from Sheet Music Plus has made this process simple. You don't need to own a website or fuss about getting set up with payment processes. They handle all of that for you. All you need to do is upload great materials like technique exercises, games and activities, lesson plans, student compositions, and even arrangements of popular music. They've got the licensing covered too. As an SMP Press member, composers retain the copyright of their self-published music. There are no contracts, and SMP Press is non-exclusive, meaning you can sell your music on other sites as well. SMP takes care of sales, customer service, and digital fulfillment of your music to Sheet Music Plus customers around the globe. Go to timtopham.com/SMP to find out more and sign up today. So you mentioned in regard to videos, you've got a limit of a minute. Are there any other considerations for images or videos on Instagram?
Any other considerations? Beyond the photo releases, you want them to be eye-catching. Instagram is very aesthetic. So you want to keep it, people are scrolling through and you want to catch them on their way so that they'll stop and look at what you've posted. So you want to make sure, there's that old phrase, Kodak moments. You want those. Those are the ones you post.
Right. And do you like using quotes and things not related necessarily to your students playing or holding up their signs? Do you also just share quotes or nice images and things like that?
Yeah, so
images of your coffee that you're having at your cafe.
Sometimes. I tend to only post things on my studio page that are related to piano teaching. So if I'm sitting down at my desk in the morning getting ready for a day of teaching or printing music or something, I can post a picture of that. But like if I'm out on vacation with a friend, I'm not necessarily going to post a picture of that unless we happen to find a piano or something that ties back a little bit. And so I try to keep it relevant to work. And I have a separate personal Instagram page. So those two are separate. But as far as like graphics and quotes, I think those can be really great. Also jokes kind of play well if you can find a graphic of a joke or a funny musical quote or a random musical fact that might catch people's attention. Those can be fun. And one thing that works really well too is actually reposting. Always give people credit, of course, but you can repost on Instagram the same way that you can share on Facebook. So if you see something from another Instagrammer that you like and that you want to share with your students, you can do that.
How do you do that?
It's another third-party app.
So you need to download another app on your phone?
Yeah, it's called Repost. There are several that do it. The one I use is called Repost. And as long as the profile that you're seeing the graphic you want on is public, you can just copy the link and then open Repost, and it'll automatically detect that you have that link copied. And then you can take it back into Instagram following their instructions.
Right. Okay. And it will automatically put a little watermark in the bottom corner saying repost in the original person's profile, I think. I've seen them before anyway.
But you should always leave it in because you need to give credit to the people who took the picture or created it.
Yeah, totally. No, that's a good tip because I wondered about that. I always think it's funny with Instagram that they've restricted things like linking in posts and being able to repost or share in the same way. And I can't work out whether it's something they might do later on or they're just trying to keep it different to Facebook. Who knows?
I think they might be trying to keep it simpler than Facebook because Facebook is so, there's so much. Mm. And Instagram is very much just picture, caption. And if they add too many features, I think, yeah, they're not going to be distinct from Facebook anymore.
Right. No, that makes sense. And what about hashtags? I think people can get a little bit wound up with how to do it, what they mean. Can you just give us a quick overview? What are they and are they relevant for teachers listening?
So hashtags are a way that people can find you. So say you put hashtag piano lesson and somebody decides to click on a hashtag piano lesson and look through all the pictures that people have tagged that way, they might come across your picture. So it's a way that people can find you. But it's also a filing system. So one thing that I do with hashtags is I have a hashtag Dawn's Piano, and anything that I hashtag with that from my Instagram will automatically go into a widget on my website. So you can use them as a filing system to sort of catalog your photos within your own account.
That is very clever. That's a new idea for me as well. So it's kind of like a categorizing, like categories, isn't it? In some ways. So you could have, if you did share a photo of you at the cafe or whatever, that might not be tagged Dawn's Piano. But the Dawn's Piano ones are, and they're also tagged piano lessons. So if someone's, because you can search by hashtag, that's the other thing that people might not realize. So yes, you could search for Dawn's Piano and find her profile, but you could also search for cute cat photos and find my beautiful cat. Oh, you've got a cat as well, haven't you?
I do. his own hashtag as well.
Oh, really? Go on then. What is it?
Philanthropist the cat, because that's his name.
Philanthropist?
Yeah, philanthropus.
Oh, that's so cute. That's a real mouthful though.
Philo.
That's great. What kind of cat is it?
He's a tabby.
Oh, cute.
Classic tabby.
Cute. So you can actually search on Instagram by hashtag. And so that's why I think Dawn's really recommending, yes, hashtags are really useful. So whatever you post, if it's something that you would like people to be able to find, particularly if it's a business thing and you're trying to get more traffic and more people to be to find you, then hashtag it with piano teaching type things. And I guess the best way to see what hashtags to use is just go to Dawn's Instagram, which we'll link to in the show notes today, and see what she does, because it's working for you. And then you'll see what other people do as well. And you can, I in fact just copy a batch of hashtags into my notes app on my phone, so I can just copy and paste them in.
Yeah. Yeah. And that works really well. And the more piano teachers you follow, the more hashtags you'll see. Some of them get pretty creative, so it's kind of fun too.
That's right. Fantastic. So what about Instagram stories? Because I keep releasing new things, but what about stories? Because they show up pretty quickly when you start using the app. Are they useful for you? Would you recommend them? And what are they? How do they work?
Instagram stories are photos or videos that you share that are only available for 24 hours and then they disappear from the public. They'll be archived in your account, so you can always go back and see them, but the public view is only for 24 hours. As far as effectiveness with piano teaching or with running a business, I think they're good if you're doing something new or if you're gearing up for an event. Or like, say, maybe you were remodeling the studio and you didn't necessarily want to post photos of it all along the way, but you wanted people to be able to tune in for progress. Or you're getting ready for a recital and you don't necessarily want to take a picture of the batch of cookies to put on your page forever, but you might want to put it on the Instagram story. That's kind of where it's useful. It's something you don't want to be in that brand that we talked about or in that curated content for always, but maybe you'll share it so that people can tune in and see it. So that's one way that stories is useful. Another way that stories is useful is you can go live in them the way that you can on Facebook Live. That may be more familiar to some people. But if you're doing a gig or a performance, or maybe there's just something special going on that you want to share with everybody in a longer video, you can go live and share it with them and they can tune in and watch it as it's happening.
Right. And so going live, is that by the sort of plus button in the bottom middle where you would go to add a photo? Do you click that to start a live or start a story, or is it set up differently?
The stories are a little camera. I think it's in the top left. I'm going to look at it real quick just so I'm not giving bad information. Yeah, it's up in the top left. And within the story, you will choose the option to go live. Let me see if I can figure out where it is real quick. So yeah, at the bottom, there are a few options. It says type, music, live, normal, when you open the story with that little camera button I talked about in the top left.
Oh yeah,
and so if you choose the live option, it'll start a live video and that will just be broadcasted as it's happening. And they'll also, if you start a live video, they're really good about notifying some of your followers. So it'll say, you know, say I started a live video, it would send out a little blast to a number of my followers saying, Dawn's Piano just started a live video. Don't watch it before it ends, kind of thing.
Right. And a live video is stored to your profile or to a story, or do they disappear?
It's stored to the story for 24 hours and then it disappears.
Right.
It will be stored in your archive after that. So you can save the video from there and you can, you know, you still have it, but it's public for 24 hours.
Okay. And I've just seen boomerang. Now that's a very Aussie word, I think. what's a boomerang?
That's when you take a really short little clip and it plays it forwards and backwards over and over again. Have you seen those on Instagram at all? Yeah, that's what they are. So they're just kind of funny. Like people will tend to do like make a funny face or do a little motion or a dance move and then it plays forwards and backwards. So it's like a 1 second clip that just boomerangs.
Yeah, it's cool. It's just another way to get people to stop and look, I think, isn't it? It's fun.
Yeah.
Fun to look at. Fantastic. So that's a great overview. And I think just looking at Instagram now in front of me there, that's definitely the main features. And across the top when you open Instagram, there are all the people's stories that you can look at will show up. And the top left one is, it says your story. So that's where you start your own. And then down the bottom, you've got the search box. You've got the add new plus sign, which is to add a new photo or a new image of some sort. And then the heart. What's the heart all about, Dawn?
The heart is where you see who is liking your stuff or who is starting to follow you. So if you click on that, it'll show you any notifications. This is basically the equivalent of the notifications in Facebook. And so it'll say who's following you, who's liked it, or if anyone's commented.
Fantastic. And if you click your photo, which is in the bottom right, that'll also give you an option if you've got multiple Instagram channels. So Dawn said she's got a business one and a personal one. That will allow you at the top of the page to flip between them. So, and that's a quite a handy thing to be able to do if you've got multiple profiles too.
Yeah, it's really easy to switch back and forth. Yeah, and it's not like they're two separate apps or anything. In that case, you just pop back and forth as you need to.
Yeah. That's great. Now, I understand that you also work with Shelley Davis on the Piano Parent podcast. How did you guys come to be working together?
Well, she interviewed me. I volunteered for one of the piano teacher interviews. And then shortly after that, I was just thinking about how much work it must be because I knew she's doing this on her own as a volunteer. So I reached out and said, hey, if you want any help, I really love what you're doing with this podcast. I'm very passionate about resourcing piano parents. And I would love to help you out. And so I started by helping her out with some Canva graphics and stuff like that, just social media shares. And we've sort of worked together since then to get it on a schedule and just get it moving.
she's heading close to 100 episodes, I think, isn't she?
She's just passed it.
Has she? Oh, I'll have to give her congratulations. That's fantastic.
Yeah, I think today was 101.
Oh, good on her. That's great. So how has your work on that show's Instagram channel helped you with your studio page and vice versa, I guess?
I think it's mostly been the other way around because I started out with my studio Instagram, and that was where I did all my trial and error and learning about scheduling and stuff like that. And so once I started doing graphics for Shelley, I just kind of sent her an email being like, hey, do you want me to start like helping with scheduling some of this stuff? And then just from there have basically carried over a lot of the things that I already had going in my studio to help with the podcast.
That's great.
Because once you have those machines in motion, they just keep going. Like you just keep it going, and it's not as much work once it's started up.
That's true. And I think Canva is great because you can create templates quite easily in it. So Canva, for those who don't know, is a great online graphic design software. And it's free. I think it's free, isn't it, for most levels of use, at least getting started. Yeah. And it makes things look so cool. Like it's just very, very well designed to make anyone, regardless of your design skills, look really good. So do check out Canva, and you can create templates in there too. So you can create, and they already have templates for Instagram posts and Facebook posts and everything. So you can make a really great head start on making things look good and giving it a bit of a sense of your own brand really easily with Canva. So that's a great tip too. So wrapping up now, any kind of final tips you'd have for teachers looking to use Instagram in their studios?
Yeah, I think one thing that I have found really useful, and I alluded to this a little bit earlier, is if you use a hashtag and then create a widget for your website that will put your Instagram photos onto your website, because we love having new, up-to-date, changing photos on our website, but it can be tricky to remember to cycle them out sometimes. And so a widget generator that I use on my website is called Light Widget. And I paid a one-time fee to get this widget. It's responsive, which means it adjusts to the size or the type of device being used. And this is very easy. It automatically uploads everything. I did just try another one yesterday because I started another personal blog, and I didn't want to pay for it, but I tried one called Snap Widget that was free. And it's very similar. The only difference is that it doesn't link back to Instagram. It links back to your photo hosted within Snap Widget's own website. But it's a free option if you wanted to get started and try out having some of your Instagram stuff show up on your website. And it's easy. They give you the code, you paste it in, and you're done.
That's fantastic. What a great tip. Really good.
Yeah. And then you can also do that with a slideshow. I actually, in rebuilding my studio, I had some open houses and I used that same hashtag that I use for the widget to do a slideshow with Slidesome. And it, I just had that running in the background during the open house so people who attended could see some of the stuff going on. So this might be fun as like as people are coming into a recital or things like that. You can, again, use that content that you've been working hard on in every way you can. Just integrate your platforms all over the place.
That's brilliant. So that was Slide Some, S-U-M or S-O-M-E?
S-O-M-E.
Slide Some. Great. And the second, and the two widgets you're using, are they WordPress plugins?
My site's a Blogger site, so it's just code that I paste into a Blogspot Blogger.
Okay, so it's an HTML code, so you should be able to use it on any site. Okay, that's great. Yeah. Good, good. And if you don't know what we're talking about with HTML and code and all that, then that's totally fine. A developer will be able to help you with with that if you need it. But don't worry too much about all of that. It's much more important to get your website started first, and then you'll start to get your head around these kinds of words. And I really like what you were saying about that being a great way to keep your website up to date without you having to do anything, because you're already posting things on Instagram. You can just push them through effectively to your website. So there's new things happening on your website without you having to be there and actually embed new photos, and because we don't have time to do that. So I think that's an absolute ripper tip. So thank you.
Yeah, no problem. I mean, I love it. It makes me look like I'm so on top of it and I haven't done a thing.
That's great. We all like that, right? It's like giving students music, which is actually really easy, but makes them look like absolute superstars. What a winning combination.
Right.
That's fantastic.
And sometimes we all need those things.
Totally. So we better tell everyone what your Instagram profile is so they can go and check it out. And you could be their first people they follow, potentially.
It's at Dawn's Piano. So all Instagram handles start with a little at sign. So that's why I say at. And then it's Dawn's Piano, which is just D-A-W-N-S Piano.
Brilliant. And where can people go to find out more about your studio, for example, if they want to see these website widgets in action?
Dawnspiano.com.
Great. And you also mentioned you had another little blog on the side. Is that something you want to share with people, or is that just a completely different market and everything?
It's a different market. I don't mind sharing it. I'm a huge reader, and so it's a book review blog.
All right. Great. What kind of books, sort of more fiction, nonfiction?
Fiction, mostly science fiction and fantasy.
I like a bit of science fiction. There you go. Might have to check it out. So what was that blog?
It's the waywardbookshelf.com. Or nice. .blogspot.com.
Nice. Great. You're very good with your, very creative with your names and things. I like it. Dawn, it's been so great to connect with you and hang out with you today. And I know I've had a lot of people ask me about Instagram because they're seeing it more and more, hearing about it. And at least two or three people have said, can you please interview someone or get someone on to talk about Instagram? So thank you so much for that. Is there anything we've missed talking about that you wanted to finish off with, or have we covered everything, do you think?
No, I think we got just about everything. I'm really excited that you had me on the show. And I know that as teachers, we're always trying to find the ways to have our studios be very visible and relevant. And so I'm really excited. And I hope that some of the things that we've shared today can help other teachers feel like they've got this down. Because up until about a year ago, I had no idea either. And I just started trying stuff. So that's where most of this comes from.
That's great. Trial and error is the way to get started with this, particularly when it's free too. So just remember Instagram, thankfully, while they might put an ad in front of you every now and then, it doesn't cost anything. So why not give it a shot? Thanks so much, exactly. Dawn, for your time today. I really appreciate it. And hopefully we'll get to meet in person one of these days.
Yeah, thank you so much.
I hope you enjoyed today's interview. What did you think about using Instagram in your own business? Are you already using it? What's working? What's been a big fail? Let us know either on the show notes page at timtopham.com/episode135 or on my Instagram page or on Facebook. Leave a quick comment. Let us know what you've learned, how it's going to work for you, or what you're already doing that we can learn from. Now, I'd like to give you a little bit of advance warning. Firstly, for a webinar in 2 weeks' time. It's the one I've been talking about for a little while. I've been promoting it a lot on Facebook as well. It's all about playing lead sheets and teaching students this invaluable skill for their learning. If there's one thing I hear more than anything else when it comes to teaching chords and creativity and pop, it's that teachers realize that lead sheets are one of the most important things for students to be able to pick up and read. And by lead sheets, we're talking about a melody line and some chord symbols and be able to actually play that without a left hand written. It's a fundamental skill for students who will go on potentially to play in bands, play in their churches, play any kind of pop music, accompany other people. And so it's so fundamental and so important that we're committing a whole webinar to it. And I've got my very special guest and good friend, Forrest Kinney, joining us. He is a superstar at everything creative and chords. And I can't wait to hang out with him and share our conversation with you and answer all your questions. So the webinar is on Monday, the 27th. of August at 8 a.m. in Melbourne. That would be Sunday evening if you're in the United Kingdom or EU, and Sunday afternoon or early evening in the United States on the 26th. So pop that date in your diary now and head over to timtopham.com/webinar to register. It's going to be a fantastic event and I can't wait to share it with you. Now, I'm also really excited because over in the inner circle, we're starting our next 4-week challenge next week. And for those of you who aren't involved, or if you are a new member and you're not familiar with it, our 4-week challenges are exactly what they sound like. They're a chance for all our members to set a goal and a plan of action for achieving some set things within 1 month. And we give you a whole lot of ideas in our sheet for what kind of challenges you might like to set yourself. They might be personal, they might be about your health, might be about screen use or coffee or chocolate, or they can of course be about teaching strategies, finally watching some of those courses you've downloaded or sheets you've got offline. Or they could be about running your business and setting some specific goals for how you're going to start advertising on Instagram or creating your Facebook page or building your website. So that starts next week in the inner circle. If you're interested in joining us in there, of course, you can head to timtopham.com/community. And remember that there's always a discount for podcast listeners. You'll find out about that right at the end of this episode. Okay, next week, we've got something a little bit different. It's a case study, and the case study is from one of my members, and it's all about how to hire your first teacher. So one of our IC members comes on the call, and she's from Perth, and she tells a story of hiring her first teacher. And so we talk about things like what's best, hiring an experienced older teacher or hiring someone younger who that you can train and help with getting into your methods and your culture. What do you pay them? How do you train them? How do you know when it's the right time to even do this? And how can you keep an eye on what they're teaching? Answers to all these questions and heaps more will be on next week's episode. I can't wait to share that one with you. I'm Tim Topham, and this is the Creative Piano Teaching Podcast. Thank you so much for listening, and I'll see you next week.
That will conclude this evening's entertainment.
Oh, thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Creative Piano Teaching Podcast. We'd love to help take your teaching to the next level as a member of our supportive community. Use the coupon PianoPodcast for $100 off an annual membership of Tim's Inner Circle today. To find out more, head to timtopham.com/community.